Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 12th, 2025, and we are continuing to read in the Big Book the chapter Into Action, and we're on page 78, the second paragraph, Most Alcoholics Owe Money, through to the end of that paragraph, Liable to Drink If We Are Afraid to Face Them. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will read the text, Vanessa G., A Vision for You, and Leslie M. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, February 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,156. Again, 22,156. And for Wednesday, February 12th, the 7 a.m. Eastern is 22,158. 22,158 for this morning. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. Position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Dina J. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Dina.
Good morning. I am Dina J., a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual waking as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Dina J. in California. Next, I will ask Justine F. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. 12 traditions, excuse me. 12 traditions, Justine. Thank you.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Justine. Good morning, Justine, compulsive eater and bulimic here in Oregon. Here we are, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5 each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Justine F. in Oregon. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speakers please be muted. Okay, today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Interaction. If you turn to page 78, the second paragraph, most alcoholics owe money, through this one paragraph ending with liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And I will now ask the lovely Shelley E. to please join us and start reading and then share on this paragraph. Thank you, Shelley.
Absolutely. Thanks, Susan, for talking. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal, we can let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. I didn't have any huge amends to institutions. I'm just going to tell you my experience with, but I did have some to my husband and to my parents. And those were difficult, even though they're people who love me and people I love. As an addict and a liar and a cheat, I didn't want to admit wrong. And in particular to my husband, we had kind of an arrangement when we got married. I handled the household and the kids, and he did just that old traditional lifestyle. And I took advantage of that. He let me handle things, and boy, I handled things. He let me do whatever I wanted, and I did whatever I wanted. And I made sure I had what I wanted. I made sure I had my kids wanted, and he worked his butt off. And I felt, very responsible and guilty for that. And, there were times when I'd have something brand new, and yeah, I did the old, this old thing, I've had this forever. And so I needed to tell him, that I really was sorry for having taken advantage of him and for not being honest. And of course, with someone who loves you, they say, oh, it's okay. It just doesn't really matter. And it does matter. And I had to be very careful not to say, I'm really sorry I did this, but you know, you allowed me, because, you know, the but and the yeah, but has absolutely no place in an amend. So that I had that experience with my husband. And to this day, I I'm not going to say brutally honest, but very honest, and try to understand and know to not be selfish, because that's what that was being selfish. But with my parents, I owed them an amend in that I had taken advantage of them. They gave me some money with the idea that I was going to pay it back for something that I wanted, and I never paid it back. And it followed me kind of like Linus's blanket. And my parents had plenty of money, and they didn't ask me for it, but that was completely and totally dishonest, and it really took advantage of them. So when I did my amend to them, that was one of the first things that I mentioned to them and told them I was sorry for. And of course, they loved me, and they said, it doesn't matter. We're just happy you can use that. And I said, no, that's not, you know, that's not the point. So what I did was I paid them back with the interest. And it had been 10 or 15 years, and I paid them back completely with that interest. And hey, no pat on the back or whatever. It should have been paid back originally. But I know they appreciated it, and it certainly washed away that kind of yucky feeling that we had between ourselves. Oh, thanks so much. I really didn't think I had much to say. But the last thing I'm going to say is there is a warning here. For we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And that right there was enough to make me say, okay, I got to take care of these things. Thanks for letting me share. And everybody have a nice day. I look forward to hearing what everyone else says.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. in Arlington, Texas. Okay, if you came in midway, you might have gathered we're talking about amends and money, and we're on page 78, and it is that paragraph that starts with most alcoholics owe money through to the end, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share this morning, please unmute and give me your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. All right.
Lisa Jill B. in Colorado.
Me too, Linda G.
Hold on one second. Colorado. I got Linda G. in Alabama, but who was the lady from Colorado?
Lisa Jill B.
Lisa Joe. Hi, Lisa. Thank you. All right. And then there was somebody in between.
Leitris J.
Leitris J. And where are you calling from?
Michigan. It's Meitris with the M.
Meitris. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Thank you, Ronnie. All right. Anyone else like to join this first lineup? Hey, we came out hot from the gate. So here I have. I have Lisa Joby in Colorado, Linda G in Alabama, Matrice J in Michigan, and Ronnie B in Missouri. So if everybody other than Lisa Joe could mute their line, and if you miss this one, there'll be another lineup. If Barbara W, okay. All right. If everyone can mute their lines, go ahead, please, and share with us.
Thank you so much. I think someone's not muted. Okay, there we go. My name is Lisa Jo B. in Colorado. I believe that all addicts are liars. We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves and our disease, and we lie to others. We lie to everybody. In my disease, I lied. I lied to myself. I lied to others. I tried to get away with things. I was sneaky. I was conniving. When I was doing an amend to my old friend who I hadn't heard from for years, I owed her a large sum of money, and I reached out to them by email, regular mail, because they wouldn't take my call. So I just thought I would try one more time. And I had the money in hand, and they didn't respond at all. So, but the fact that I was prepared, that gave me the sensation of cleaning my side of the street. Another example was when I went to Starbucks and I got some unsweetened iced tea, and they have a policy you can have free refills if you stay there. But I dropped off a client and came back, and they said, well, you can't have a free refill if you leave. And I lied to them, and I was like, I like caused a little scene and said that I was just outside. I didn't leave, and they gave me my refill. And then I had a talk with my sponsor because it didn't sit right with me. And I went back there per her suggestion and came clean and offered to pay. And the guy was like, it's so refreshing to have someone come up and be so honest. And he said, don't worry about it. I still feel like I need to give all that money away to a charity. I haven't done that piece yet. But, the amend process is like you don't know what's going to happen. And I had to lean heavily on the third step and surrender the results to God, because I have no control of what the result was going to be. And although things with my old friend didn't turn out the way I wanted, it was just the way God intended. And I just kind of flowed with it. So I'm a little tired this morning and kind of disjointed. So I'll stop there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And everyone have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa Joby in Colorado. Next, we have Linda G. in Alabama. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda G. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. And I didn't borrow any money from friends because I scarcely had any, but I got into tremendous credit card debt. And there was no way I could pay it off. And I faced either going bankrupt or joining a credit card repayment firm, a debt repayment firm. And I chose to join the debt repayment firm. And they negotiated down my debts and gave me a solid one payment per month firm. And out of that, they paid each account per month. And as the payments got paid off, they increased the payments on the remaining debts. And in 2 years, I was paid off. And it felt really good. It was a rough 2 years, but my husband was so proud of me for doing that that he paid off all our other bills while I was paying off this one sum. Because it strapped me. I paid off the most I could afford to pay off to get this over with as quickly as possible. And it included some debt from him, not anywhere near what my debt was, but some. And I wasn't in program at the time, but I knew it had to be done. Really proud of myself for facing up to it and taking care of it and not declaring bankruptcy. And to this day, I'm very cautious about what I spend, and I'm very careful not to get into further credit card debt. I'm in program now almost 8 months. Returned. I had a 28-month relapse from my first 2 program, and it was during that relapse that I ran up this enormous credit card debt. And I knew I had to come back to program. I just didn't know where to find it. And many have heard me say that I finally found it online and eventually got to the visions meetings, which I go to religiously. I missed them yesterday because I decided to go back to school, and my whole day was...
At the time, Linda?
Thank you. I'll let it go with that. But
thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me share.
Linda G. in Alabama. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Michigan to Matrice J. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Matrice J. from Michigan. Very glad to be here. You know, for me, honesty is so important. If I owe money, I'm going to pay it. No matter how long it takes me, I also, if I have to put $5 toward it, and I've had people say, $5, that ain't nothing. Well, it's something to me if that's my best, because if I owe money, I'm going to pay it. Sometimes and honesty is really what's important. Because if I don't have it, or if I don't have enough, I'll talk to my creditors or the people that I owe, and I'm very rigorously honest about my situation. I have had people, because of my honesty and willing to pay my bills, that has gave me a credit. I used to go to the store and I used to pay my bills all the time and there, and the man said to me, "Wow, you really pay your bills." He gave me something free. But not only was I willing to do these things and pay, I was being honest. I was not trying to run from them. I stepped up. Yes, I owe this. And my adult daughters used to say, "Well, Mom, you get disability. They can't come after you and sue you for this. Why are you paying?" I said, "Because I owe it. If I owe it, I'm going to pay it. I'm just that way. It's just something in me that keeps me honest and open, and if I owe, I pay." And so I feel very, you know, not putting myself on a pedestal or anything, but that honesty, that rigorous honesty goes a long way. And people trust me. People trust me, and it's integrity. When I'm being honest about what I owe and what I'm trying to do and being willing, that comes along with integrity as well. And I've had therapists that trust me so much. When I had a daycare, wanted me to keep their children. I mean, so integrity, honesty, willingness, and taking, thank you, and taking the action is very, very important. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Matrice J. in Michigan. Next, we have Ronnie B. in Missouri. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, and thank you. Ronnie, compulsive overeater. So I love these meetings, and I love the big book so much, it's almost like I could just take a bite out of it. I wasn't even planning on saying that, so that I could digest it all day long. But, you know, this whole thing with honesty and owing money or making amends for money, and I am also in a program for that. I won't go into detail that. But a friend of mine once said to me, "Ronnie, money is a mood changer." And I found that to be true. You know, but the first thought I had when the first person shared on the line about paying and paying back with interest, I was thinking, it's got to be 25 years ago. But it was the sponsees that was out of work, no longer a sponsee, it's been so long. But And she had asked to borrow a certain amount of money to get her through 2 months' bills because she had lost her job. And, you know, and as soon as she got back on her feet, she would pay it. And, you know, so I said, yes, you know. I said, yes. And that, again, it doesn't put me on a pedestal. It's just, I said, yes, that's all it means. And then when it was time, she got a job and she was back on her feet and she was ignoring me, not calling anymore, not going to the same meetings. And finally, I called her and I said, you know, it's been several months and I was wondering if you, it would be nice if you would be in a place where you could begin to make partial payments, because it was a big sum. And she got so angry, she immediately said, wow, you see the position of my life and you have more money, so you shouldn't ever be. I'm like, oh my God. And you know what? I just, because I'm not a perfect human being, but I just said, that's not really how I feel, and I think this is inappropriate. But I got to let it go and move on, and I'm sorry you feel that way. And so it made me realize this, that so there's a lot of things about money, right, owing money, receiving money, is that what I've done from that point forward, and this is true, is that I don't like to lend money anyway, but if I'm in the position to do that, I do it knowing I am not getting that money back. And then I have no resentment. And if I can't afford to do that, then I simply say no. But I'm also aware of my selfishness, because when the first person was sharing, I was just thinking, you know, years ago, my sister got this ginormous inheritance from our aunt, and she deserved it. By the way, there's no resentment there, never has been. And I got something as well. But because she got so much more time, because she got so much more, I thought I was entitled to more. And what I found out is that I'm not. Anyway, great meeting. So great to be on the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie B. in Missouri. Next up, we have Barbara W. And I think you're in New Jersey, Barbara, but remind us when you say good morning. Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah, I'm Barbara from New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm an alcoholic as well. I just want to thank God for my life, for allowing me to be in OA. I'm not in AA no more because I am recovered from alcohol, and it goes into addiction. Addiction is an addiction. So for me, it's food and spending. So now, at my age of 70, I'm working on my food, which I have did do great with my food, plus spending and paying bills. Now, I've owed people money, and I'm paying it now. I'm paying it now, and I've had loan credit, and I'm not running from it. I'm honest about it. I made these bills greed and greedy, addiction. If it's not from one, from drugs to alcohol, it could be other addictions that we fall into. So I have to be honest. We all got to be honest to get well in this program. That I know from reading. And I'm learning to be honest and to be open and to admit that I have this disease and name it, claim it, write it down, journal. I do journal. I write down things every day I have to deal with, pray about, and I have to try to ask God to help me. And this is what I have been going through. I got back in the program. It's been 2 years now because I got out, went back out. But I'm thanking all the people in the program, my higher power, that I'm stable and God, my higher power, is keeping me. And the people talking on the phone gives me the strength to continue and to be. And the thing is being honest. Being honest. I write that on the wall every day. Honest. I got a big poster, honest, and I can't be honest if I am not working the program. It's impossible because of the disease that I carry in my life from my family addiction and from my bloodline, you know, and my bloodline. They have areas, and I be praying for them. I still talk to them, and we're getting better because I'm getting better. When you get better, somebody else around you gets better. And it's like a light. So I'm just grateful that I'm here and I'm able to try to work the program much as I can and be honest and pay my bills and learn to practice stewardship. That's the bottom line. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Barbara W. in New Jersey. So before I take the next roundup of names, a reminder that registration is open for the Power of the Big Book Convention, which will be November 7th through 9th at the Marriott Newark International Hotel. And you can find the details, additional details on Vision for You website. All right, so again, a reminder of where we are this morning. We read the second paragraph on page 78, Most Alcoholics Owe Money, ending with liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. So if today is your third day to share on any vision meeting, so if you already shared this morning, you can't share here, if you shared on the earlier. And I'm ready to take a lineup of our second round of names.
Hi, this is Beth from California. Beth K. from California.
California. Beth K. Okay.
CC from California.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name. It cuts out.
CC. It's initial.
Mitzi T. Okay.
Thank you.
Tiffany C.
I got that right.
Tiffany C. And where are you calling from, Tiffany?
Oklahoma.
Thank you. Who else would like to join these ladies? Going once, going twice. All right, I have Beth K in California. I think I got this right. Mitzi T in California. If I didn't, sorry. I know it's a T. And then Tiffany C in Oklahoma. So if everybody could mute their line other than Beth K. Beth, come on in and share with us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Beth, compulsive overeater, really grateful to be here this morning. I wanted to share that I've had a very specific experience around this. As a previous speaker mentioned, I've been in another program for 25 years and am recovered from that manifestation of this disease. And I've been in OA for 2+ years. I tried to do the steps with two different sponsors in that time, and in both cases got right up to the ninth step and just petered out. You know, I did one amends or another amends. I didn't actively work on all of them, praying for God to help me find the right words and the right time with the right people. And I ate. I struggled for almost those entire 2 years. You know, I got some relief at different points, but the truth is I ate. And one of the biggest amends that I needed to do, and it was a financial one, that I just did not want to own up to, was I cheated on my taxes really terribly last year. It was conscious. I did it. And I benefited financially tremendously from that. So I've begun the process of repaying. And I've worked it through with my sponsor to find an adequate solution to that. I had to estimate, I tried to figure out exactly how much I benefited, and we came up with a plan. So, and right now, because I'm in the middle of all of that, I absolutely feel that God is with me, that I'm protected from the food. I feel no pull from it. I'm not interested in it as a solution because I've found a solution to the discomfort, restless, irritable, and discontent life that I live generally. So I've found some peace I've taken action, and I'm just really grateful to this meeting because this close reading of the work of the ninth step has really helped me see the purpose. It's not about beating myself up. It's only about making myself of maximum use to God and my fellows. So thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, let's see how much I messed up this name. I think it's Mitzi T in California. And if not, the person with the
it's T actually
last
C.
initial.
C is in Kathy,
oh.
T is in Thomas. It's fine. Everybody gets it up.
Thank you.
it's just my initial, CT. My last initial is T. I'm in California. I jumped on the meeting this morning, and we were talking about financial amends. And, boy, have I had some of those, and I loved what people have shared. I loved about the honesty and the integrity, and that's what it comes down to, is so that I can live comfortable with me and not have those pinging bits when something comes up, and I go, oh yeah, that. So I had a situation where I destroyed a relationship with a man that I just loved deeply, and he was like, I'm out of here. And he left, and I was in so much trauma over that. I did some things that had some financial stuff to make him hurt. And, you know, because I'm outrageous to him, he's going to hurt as bad as I am. And when it came time to do amends, I did not know where he was, but I knew where his sister lived. And I wrote her a letter and wrote him a letter and put it inside her letters with a check for a pretty big amount of money. And I sent that off. And the thing is that I was not free just from doing that, because I would look at my checkbook. Did the check clear? Did the check clear? And eventually I got a letter back from him with no return address, by the way, saying thank you. And he didn't expect that. And a little update on him. But what I would have done differently had I had that experience, and I'd like to share that with others, is I would have sent a money order, because then I wouldn't be checking my statement. I would have been free maybe from the moment that I sent that money order off and the money was out of my account. So that was my experience there. I've also paid back credit cards where I've called the company and said, I can't pay at all. Can you make payments, or is there, what can I do? And they've adjusted the total down more than half. And, whether that feels right or wrong, it felt right to me. And I paid that off. I've made little financial amends of money that I had taken from friends that they didn't know, small amounts, like $25. And when I made my amends, they looked at me like, you're giving me $25? And I was like, yeah. And I had taken money with someone else and I didn't mention their name. I just paid my part. And today I am free of all of those things. And when I hear struggling with that, I know that what that feels like inside. It's hard and it's uncomfortable, and I don't have that rock in my belly anymore because of the 12 steps. And it's because I did that with a sponsor that we came up with ideas that I would have never imagined. Like, we came up with way better ideas than I ever imagined. And some people who I couldn't contact, I just put money in a basket and said a prayer for them. This is for so-and-so. Bless them, change me. And that's all I have to share today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Tiffany C. in Oklahoma. Thank you, Tiffany.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and everybody else that shared this morning. My name is Tiffany C. I'm recovered in Oklahoma by God's grace today. There was a couple words that stood out to me that were shared today, and it was integrity. And when I came into program, I didn't have any integrity in the disease of food addiction. I was very entitled. The world owed me everything, and I didn't owe any back to anybody, really. And because of that mentality, I really put a lot of things in the very back of my mind, and didn't have access to these amends because of the denial, because of the disease tricking me and telling me I don't owe these people, or I don't owe these institutions, everything was done to me, I didn't have a part. And so it took me years before some of the things started revealing themselves to me. And I'm really grateful for the moments where each of us share our own experience with these amends because, you know, I was in program for a few years and a man got on the line and he talked about owing a library. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it hit me. I forgot that I owed hundreds of dollars to a library, you know? And so I think everything is revealed when it's supposed to be. As long as I suit up, show up, and I'm prepared to make these amends. You know, I think that in God's time, things will be revealed. But I am really grateful for everybody that shared, you know, in particular what each of their amends look like. Because if you're anything like me, sometimes it's hiding out in the way back of the memory. And those moments really help bring out some of those amends. So thank you for all of your service today, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Tiffany C. in Oklahoma. All right, we maybe have time for three, maybe only two, but we definitely have some more time. Who would like to share on this paragraph this morning? It's been fabulous so far. Let's keep it going. Anyone want to share their experience with financial amends?
Jody,
I've got you. Thank you. Who else came in with Jody?
This is Martha in Vancouver, Canada.
Hi, Martha. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. And okay.
Jordan,
and
no, I'll probably take time.
Jordan. All right. Hi, Jordan. All right, so I have Jody E, Martha O, and Jordan L. Go ahead, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan and everybody, for this wonderful meeting. It is good to hear specifics. And have I done all I can do? What I'd like to share is that when I was getting a divorce, I was very concerned. that getting a settlement in my, you know, getting money from my former husband, what was that honest? Was that being in integrity? We were married for 30 years. He was the primary breadwinner. And according to California law, I could have gotten alimony for years. And I could have gotten, half of all of the assets. So I was uncertain about that. I was uncertain if I deserved that, given that he was the breadwinner. And I'm not sure that I don't think I took advantage of my position. I was frugal, but I was still really concerned about it. So what we ended up doing is we hired a mediator. And together, we worked out an agreement. And I'm just very grateful that I had some program in under my belt, because as a result of that process, which took months, we are today. And I don't think he has any bitterness at all about what he did give me. It was well below what I could have gotten, according to the law. But I just wanted to make sure that we were on good terms. That was super important to me. And I'm fine. I'm fine. So, yeah, we have to really think hard about these things and pray, of course. Talk with our sponsors. Because what do we want? We want freedom. Freedom. How free do we want to be? And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. in California. Next, we have Martha O. in Vancouver, Canada. Go ahead, Martha.
Oh, hi. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Susan, for your service. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I didn't want to share, but when there was that long silence, and I just felt so uncomfortable because I have, I'm in a new set of steps, cleaning up some more wreckage, and I have more financial amends to make. And
there's a couple of calls I've just been putting off. And but what I remembered through doing this reading again and just hearing, I listened in on the earlier vision meeting and then just listening to these shares as well, is just the more uncomfortable and awkward and the more I was dreading the amends, the financial amends that I made. In my first set of OA steps, the more amazing the result was. And I would have missed some really amazing, just miracles. And one of them, I had amends for pretty much every Whole Foods in the LA area and in the area where I lived. I used to just, you know, I loved the healthy salad bar and all the stuff at Whole Foods, but the prices I thought were exorbitant. So I would just get a huge container, eat it down to what I thought was a reasonable amount of pay, and then pay for, you know, what I thought it was worth. And then my sponsor at the time was like, well, Martha, if you object to the pricing strategy, then your option is to shop elsewhere. But meanwhile, you've eaten all this food that you haven't paid for. And I had to just make an estimate of, you know, for each of the Whole Foods of what I thought I owed based on how many times I did this, and round up instead of rounding down. And it was just some really awkward conversations. Sometimes I had to go through a couple of managers to find somebody. I brought cash with me because, you know, I was told if they refuse your money, then you ask them what charity they support or, you know, how they would like to spend the money, because it was not my money. And just some really, really, really touching things happened. But the one I remember most was, it was an amount over $300 at one store. And the manager, when I finally got to the right person to talk to about it, he had tears in his eyes and he was on the verge of crying. And he just said, you know, you've given me so much hope, because I have two nephews who are in recovery and are really struggling, and to see like somebody doing this and following through, it just gives me so much hope. And we ended up talking for a while, and he said, my store doesn't need your money, but there's a lot of hungry people. And if you would like to donate this and, you know, mention our name if you want to anywhere that will feed hungry people in our area, you know, that would just mean so much to me. So that was just one example, but there were a lot of them. And this really inspires me to do the things I don't want to do today. Okay, thank you so much. Have a good day, everyone.
All right, you too. So, Jordan, we only have about 30 seconds left, so perhaps you want to wait until tomorrow might be better. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book. Thank you, everybody who was of service this morning. First of all, Shelley E., Vanessa G., Leslie M., Alex K., Jody E., Justine F., and Dina J., and please stay on if you need a sponsor or are available. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read a vision for you for us? Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Susan, and thank you, everybody who did service this morning. Great meeting. My name is Vanessa G., and I am recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.